Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am your host, Ben Trueblood. With me today is John Paul Basham.
Greetings.
As promised, this is part two of what your leaders must know before small group season launches this fall.
Mm-hmm.
For many of you, it is right around the corner. When you're listening to this, some of you may have already started it, maybe week one or two in your new small group season. And so I know we said what they must know before small group season, but at the beginning of small group season's okay too. So if you missed the first part of this episode, it is posted last week, so go check it out. We talk through vision and how to communicate that to your leaders and how important that is, as well as some expectations in lifestyle, expectations in teaching, and how to balance having a high standard while at the same time understanding and respecting the life that your leaders have outside of student ministry. So go check that episode out if you missed it. But listen to this one first. That's okay. You can listen to part two first.
It's like having dessert before your meal.
Man, I stinking love dessert.
Do you eat it before your meal often?
I don't, but I wish that, like, it's my, like, that's my food thorn is sweet stuff. Like, so we were sitting at home the other night. It was like 8:30. We'd put the kids to bed, and Kristen's like, hey, I wish I had, like, something sweet. I said, I'll go to the store right now. So, we have a store that's within 10 minutes of where we live. So I went to the store and bought, at Kroger, they have the individual packaged slices of cake. It's like, this is perfect. So I went and bought cake.
Man, I started, we're ice cream addicts.
Yes.
In our house.
Amen.
So I decided after one trip where I had a really good yogurt parfait.
Parfaits is delicious.
That maybe I could start. That maybe I could start eating those instead.
Are they better for you?
I don't know. That's the problem. They taste really good, so I have a feeling they're just as bad for me. And often I'm like, hey, it's like yogurt and fruit and granola. So I'll make like a cereal bowl size one instead of the small one.
That's a large amount of parfait. So you make your own home parfait.
Indeed.
I like that. So here's what we would love for you to do. Hit us up on Twitter, at Ben Trueblood and at John Paul Basham, and let us know what your favorite dessert is. It's for funsies.
It's for fun.
Today, part two of the what your leaders must know before the new small group season. We're going to be focusing on the kinds of relationships that they need to have. Now, it might be self-explanatory for them, and you might be thinking, man, if I've recruited them to be involved in student ministry, then of course they're going to think I need to have relationships with students. And they probably do think that to some level. But your leaders need for you to give them some ways, some options, some tools, even some environments where they can develop relationships with students. Because here's what you already know. Your leaders don't run in the same environments as your students. They don't have many similarities. There are some that they're, you know, you might have a guy's leader that likes to camp and the boys in his ministry love to camp as well. But chances are there aren't going to be a lot of similarities. Their stage of life is completely different. And so they're going to need you to train them on how to build relationships with teenagers. And that's really, John Paul, I think that's one thing that's seldom done in student ministry, is actually training a leader how to have a relationship with a student. I think that's going to naturally happen. Everyone knows how to do that, and so I don't need to say anything about it.
Right, and I think a lot of times we think when we're talking to a leader and they say, like, I don't know how many leaders I've had say to me, I'm kind of intimidated, you know, when you're doing an interview process with a leader and they're ready to come on, they're ready to jump in, but they have that vulnerable moment, and I just got to tell you, sometimes I'm not sure how to connect. I don't know if they're going to like me. I'm not sure how to talk to them. And I know I've said before, oh, man, don't be scared. I mean, you don't have to be their best friend. You know, you're here to be their leader, and you kind of give them this language. But then you just say, you know, give them a pat on the back and, like, go get them, biggin.
That's right.
You know, but if you don't give them something to work with, then you've just said, ah, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Just get out there.
And to be fair, teenagers are kind of intimidating at some points.
Yeah, they can be.
Like, if you've never – for some of you, you have leaders that are entering into your ministry for the first time. And they, like John Paul said, they really are intimidated. And that's not a weird thing. Like, I remember as a student pastor, the first time I walked into a school cafeteria to visit students, it was frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just out of place. You're not – everyone looks at you when you walk in because you're the person that's never – like the first time you walk in, you're the person that's never there, and so you stand out. And, you know, you get past that, and it becomes a comfortable thing from then on. But
sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever got comfortable for me. Every
walking
time
the cafeteria,
it was like, here we go.
You got to get psyched.
Get pumped up and then just go launch in somewhere.
Just, yeah. It is an intimidating thing. So what would you tell a leader? Here's a couple things, 2, 3, 4, 9 things that they can do. That they can do to train their leaders to develop relationships with students.
Well, I think one of the best things that you can do is go ahead and create an environment where they get to know their students. And maybe even one step beyond that, the parents of their students, as much as they're willing to engage and be involved, before they launch into teaching a class. If we're talking about a small group leader, if you just shoot them an email and say, hey, get class next week, here's the lesson, you know, or not, I'll have a lesson printed off for you, grab it on the table on your way in, you know, and I'll point you to where your kids are, which is, that's happened. Then that's not going to be a great first engagement.
Yeah.
So a great thing for you to do is to be able to set up an environment. Whether that's, you know, you may be doing that for all your groups on one day. Hey, students, parents, everybody come. I've got a different room for every class. We have maybe you have a list of questions that you guys can ask the leader, or something for the leader to walk through as they're talking about what they're going to be doing, and just some conversation starters, some food, whatever that looks like. If it's at the church, if it's at a park, if it's just a hangout, if you do that individually, like, hey, all the seventh graders and their parents are going to have a party at this person's house. I would say you might not want to do that at that leader's house. Hey, I want to introduce everybody, and can you clean your house and host everybody and cook the hot dogs? You know, that'd be awesome.
That's a great thing for you to think about hosting at your house.
Yeah.
It's having people in your home as the student pastor is always a good thing.
Yeah. So that would be one thing that I would say is, whatever that looks like, try to facilitate that atmosphere where they can engage with those kids and parents and get to know them and start building some relationships so they don't have to do it from scratch. And then we talked about in the last podcast setting those expectations. If your leader knows going into an environment where they're trying to learn to build relationships with students, to minister to them well, if they go into that experience knowing what you expect, like this is how you engage with students. This is what is appropriate. This is what you cannot do. This is what I want you to do. Those are some big factors to have in place.
So what if you recruit a leader? Everything seems great. You're like, man, this leader's awesome. Like, I've worked so hard to get this person on board. A month into it, you realize that this person has the relational ability of a stone. Like, what happens? What happened? Is there, like, when is the moment that you say, I need to help this person find another place to serve? Or let's power through this. Maybe find an ultra relational person that's gifted a little bit differently and slide them in with the stone. And maybe they'll rub off on each other. So, like, how would you manage that?
Yeah. I think giving them the boot should always be like plan E or F.
That's right.
Because you want to, I mean, if you have, now part of this is on you, and we've said before that you're going to recruit 80% of your problems.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact of the matter. So if you were just winging it and you said, hey, come on, get involved, and they got involved and they're really terrible, that's on you, bro.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, now you're going to have to sort this out. But let's say you've done your due diligence and there's a lot about this leader that you genuinely appreciate and want them to be able to be an example for your students for. Well, then it's part of your responsibility to disciple that leader and teach them and train them for how to be in those environments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes I think it's partnering with them, someone who can fill those weaknesses. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, you know, in a training environment, hey, here's how you do this. I mean, you're teaching them. They're not called to do that in the same capacity that you are, or they would be in your spot.
Yeah.
And you would be somewhere else. So the things that they're called to, you're called to teach them how to do.
Yeah. You're discipling them to disciple others.
No doubt.
And that's part of it. I think one of the things to notice about that question is you're not going to know that they're a stone unless you stay connected to them and that group after you give them their class or life group or whatever. So often we see a system that is kind of like the set it and forget it food dehydrator with small groups, and we get everything set in August and we get leaders in place and we say, whoo, I'm glad we got those spots filled. Everything's running. And then that's the last time we revisit it until the all church training that happens at the beginning of spring. Stay engaged. Stay up to date on what your leaders are doing, how their class is going. Have multiple check-ins, multiple evaluations, multiple training opportunities. And it doesn't have to be some big thing. Like, you can check in on their class for 5 minutes, check in on their group for 5 minutes. If you have a home group type system, man, drop in, sit in. If you have home group, it's not your time to take a night off. You should be dropping in on those home groups and sitting in and evaluating.
Yep. An easy way to get a pulse on that. Because they may also feel like they're the stone, you know?
Right. Like, and chances are they know.
Yeah.
Like, their students just stare at them, and they don't feel good about it either.
Yeah. I can't get my kids to stop throwing pencils at my face while I'm teaching. No. Well, there's a problem here. Let's address it.
Stop giving them pencils.
Well, one of the easy things you can do.
Dixon Ticonderoga. A retina.
Number two to the face.
That's right.
One of the easy things you can do to continually assess that is just to come up with a quick little conversation guide, and something that I found very useful as I put together one page and I wrote down 5 questions on that page and set up little 30-minute meetings with all of my leaders. Couldn't go any longer than 30 minutes, didn't have any time to go longer than 30 minutes with this. But it's 5 diagnostic questions about how they're doing in the class, how they feel like they're engaging with kids, how they feel like they're engaging with parents, how do they feel about the lessons, all this kind of stuff. You know, just an easy little check-in meeting like that, not calling them to come out of their, you know, you don't have to miss work to come do it. You know, just, hey, I'm going to meet with 2 people after every Sunday for the next several weeks and connect with all of my leaders. It's an easy way to kind of get a pulse on where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Online tools, surveys, Survey Monkey kind of stuff can also, it's obviously less personal, so you don't want to do it every time. But those are easy, quick ways that you can keep a pulse on what's going on. When we think about relationships with students, one of the things that we always talk about in student ministry, that we always said to student ministry, I know you have said it to student ministry leaders, spend time with students outside of the group. Like, that, the time that you spend outside of the group will matter to what happens in the group. It accelerates relationship. It lets the student know that you're willing to get in their world, that you care about them, that you care about their stuff. Oftentimes, it's a great way to connect with their parents if you go to an activity or something like that. So that is another way, another handhold kind of thing that you can train your leaders to do. I think helping them understand and find ways to see multiple students at one activity is always a good thing. It can even be a church activity that's outside of the small group. That's a way to connect with them. But man, try to help your leaders to understand, to get in the community at some point, to find a way. Now, again, they don't have to be at every Thursday night 8th grade basketball game, but help them to understand the importance of connecting with those students outside of the group while remembering what we talked about last week and making sure that your expectations are something that your leaders are going to be able to fulfill. Remember, they have lives of their own, they have families of their own, so expecting them to be out 3 or 4 extra nights a week just to see all of their students is way overboard.
Yeah. Expecting them to be out 1 extra night a week is a big commitment. And
it's
you might
commitment.
Say, man, I'm just asking you for one more thing this week.
Yeah.
Well, that's just you. And each of their kids are asking them for a few things, and their job is asking them for a few things, and they've committed a few things to their spouse. So it piles up.
It does.
So just keeping that in mind is a big deal.
Yeah. So relationships with students, one of the and we mentioned it just a couple times before, but the second relationship that you need to prepare your leaders to have is with the parent or parents, as the case may be, of the students. Many times this can be an incredible opportunity for ministry. If you are – and you are – called to make disciples of students and their families. We know that partnering with parents is a huge part of student ministry, that the parents are the spiritual directors and main spiritual influencers in a student's life, or they should be. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Parents may be lost. They may be, they just might not care about the spiritual well-being. They may treat the student ministry like the spiritual daycare. I know all of those things exist. But the biblical mandate is that the parents are the primary disciplers of kids. And so one of the things in student ministry that you must consider is how you're going to disciple parents to disciple their children. Your role is not just teenager focused. It must also be parent focused. And just like you can't reach every student on your own, you can't reach every parent on your own. So I think setting up expectations that your leaders understand that there needs to be a connection to the parents is something that needs to be stated, as well as we just talked about with students. You need to give them ways to do that. You need to provide environments to do that. John Paul mentioned one earlier as it related to helping them meet their students and providing an environment, whether it be a cookout or some type of, hey, we're going to take this first group meeting to do kind of the icebreaker. Everybody just kind of meets each other, the drop in and out kind of thing. Not only is that a great way to further your leaders to meet their students and get to know their students, it's a great way for your leaders to meet the parents of those students. So as you plan whatever that activity is, make sure that parents know that they're invited and wanted and welcome, and that they get an opportunity to meet the person that's going to be pouring into their students' lives in a spiritual way over the next year. At the day that we're recording this tonight, I have back to school night where I go and meet my older 2 kids' teacher.
Back to school.
For their prove to dad that I'm not a fool. Going back to, so I'm going to go meet their teachers. Well, there's a reason why the public schools in our area and the ones in your area do back to school night. It's so that you can meet the person who is going to have an influential role in the lives of your kids for the next year. So if a school is willing to do that and they're not a spiritual-based thing at all, how much more should we provide an opportunity for parents to interact and meet with the person that's going to be involved in their kid's life in a spiritual way for the next year or even beyond? Because many times in student ministry, those leaders roll up in grades as the students get older.
Yeah. And there's some easy things that you can do, too, to help your leaders connect. For example, if you're asking your leaders to connect with parents on a weekly basis, you know, they can do that through phone calls. They can do that through Facebook. They can do that through whatever. But a lot of these parents, although I know there's a counter argument right away, they never read my emails. Most of them have an email and account, and they do check it. Now, which emails they decide to read, you know, and get all the way through, that's kind of up to them. But one easy thing that you can do is write a form email for your leaders to send out regularly to parents. So whatever you're wanting to communicate as the student pastor, if you are fostering and helping your leaders foster a relationship with parents, you can send that message to your leaders and say, hey, personalize this if you'd like, or just send it out this way with their name at the top and send it out to the parents of these students. And there's some easy things you can do so they don't have to sit there and write the email. They don't sit there for 30 minutes saying, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Or they just say something really dumb. You can give them some of that stuff. You can give them some things to post on their different social media outlets. And I think some things like that will help foster some of that.
Yeah, and we mentioned it earlier with activities. Try to choose one way that you can help them use their time wisely is to pick outside of the group activities that they're where the students will be and where their parents will be. There's no reason to have different moments where these things are taking place. Help them think strategically about how to connect with parents. And I think one of the main things that we need to remember about this too is that when your leaders get to know the parents, they're going to be able to let you know as the student ministry leader about ministry opportunities that you never would have heard about otherwise. As relationships develop there, you'll be able to get insight into that family in a way that you wouldn't have before. Again, because you're not going to be able to get to the relational depth with every single family in your church the way that you need to. And so you need to multiply yourself in leaders that can be an extension of your ministry. There are going to be moments where you discover and where that leader discovers, hey, this man, Julie's parents don't know the Lord, and they're going through what might end in a divorce, and we're as a church able to speak into this situation now because we know about it. So many situations are unministered to simply because no one knows about it, and no one's asked, and no one has the pulse of what's going on in the home. And so while we don't want to train leaders to pry and be creepy, just being available and open and a friendly ear, a friendly face and an open ear, not a open face. It's a sandwich.
A friendly ear is okay, though.
A friendly ear. You could be a friendly and open ear to those parents. Now all of a sudden those parents have a place to turn if they need something.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's strong.
So in relationships, we have students and parents. Before we go on to the last one, I did want to mention one thing about students. One thing that you can kind of train leaders to do and help them is to take notes on their students, to keep a little notebook about things that they like, struggles that they have. When they say things about their home life, if it's something that stands out to you, just write it down. That may sound super weird, but if your leaders kind of keep these notes on their students, it will help them be able to identify moments in their lives that they need to speak into. It will help them learn their students a lot more. If they know what the heartbeat of the student is, then they'll be able to disciple them and minister to them in an increased way. And simple truth is we forget things. And so one of the ways that you can equip your leaders to help them remember things about their students, especially if this is the first year that they're with a particular group, if you have a leader that's moved up with a group of students from seventh grade and now they're in 10th grade, it's probably not as essential. But if this is the first time they're with a group of students, taking notes on those students helps them to remember who the kid is and how they can speak into their life, because all of those students around the table are going to be different in some way. So what your leaders must know about relationships before this year of small groups begin is that they need to have relationships with students, obviously, but you need to help them understand how. They need to have relationships with parents that will open up doors of ministry that you never thought possible. You cannot minister to every family, and so equip your leaders to help you in that. And then relationships with each other. You need to help your leaders build relationships with other people in their peer group. They need a break from teenagers. They can't spend all of their time at church with a group of 14-year-olds. And you shouldn't. That applies to you too. You shouldn't spend all your time with teenagers as well. You need adult time, and your adult leaders need adult time. John Paul, I've heard you talk about this before. something that I think you did really, really well. So talk through some of the things that you focused on in helping leaders build relationships with other leaders.
So one of the things that you know is more than likely happening is when an adult comes to volunteer in one of your student environments, they are likely leaving an environment in which they were being poured into. So just to be real specific, when they come to teach a class for you on a Sunday morning, if that's when your class is, they were probably in a class, in an adult class that someone else was teaching at the time. So if you know they're leaving that place where they're being poured into, where they're being developed and matured, and they're stepping out where now all they're doing is pouring themselves out in that same time slot, then you need to anticipate the day that they run dry.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the day that they start saying, man, I am burnt out. You know, I don't have anything else to give. And so a lot of that comes out of the fact that many of us are not as disciplined as we should be in our own personal devotion to Christ. And so if they are not reading the way that they should, if life is overwhelming, things are going on at home, and they're giving, and not being poured into, then that eventually is going to impact the ministry that they have. So one of the important things that you need to do as the leader is anticipate that, and at least offer. I don't think you need to mandate that your leaders are engaged in something like this, but at least offer some connection points for them. So I think some of those are just friendly, you know, opening up your home to bring them in, have a barbecue, whether you cook everything or you cater, or they even,
balls
everybody
of
brings.
Yogurt parfait.
Yeah. Everybody bring their own giant parfait and two spoons so that you can share with someone else.
But yeah, but just helping them get in community.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of it is just getting to know the leaders around them, because they're not hanging out with each other during class. They're pouring into the class.
Yeah.
And probably they come in the door, go straight to the table, do their class. And when they leave, they got to get somewhere, whether it's to the service or lunch. They're headed somewhere. Pick up their kids from childcare, whatever. There's not a lot of time to linger on Sunday morning. So they probably don't get to know a lot of the leaders. So part of it's on a friendship level, but another part of it's on a spiritual level. Is there any engagement that you are making sure is available to them for them to be poured into spiritually?
Yeah.
Maybe you can teach a systematic theology class. Walk them through Wayne Grudem. I know that can sound intimidating, but walk them through the doctrines that you're going to be teaching that year in student ministry. It doesn't have to be this, you know, you don't have to have a PhD to be able to walk your leaders through that. But it's training them, and it's putting them in community with one another to let them do some Bible study together, have some connection there. You know, maybe you're appointing some leaders that are over another segment of leaders that are making sure to call three or four leaders every couple of weeks and make sure they're doing well, make sure that they're being prayed for, cared for. There's so many ways to get at it. It's just important that you do it, that they understand that there's a place for them to plug in, to be a part of community, and that they're appreciated, loved, et cetera.
Yeah, and we get asked all the time, like, man, I know I'm supposed to have regular training meetings or meetings with my leaders, but like, what do I do in those? Well, you just heard one segment of that meeting can be the spiritual nugget that you deliver to them. It can be, you know, if we take just these what your leaders need to know podcasts and say, okay, for the next year, I'm going to build out all of my leader meetings around these things. I'm going to train them for a segment on building relationships in one of these areas, either with each other, with parents, or with students. I'm going to spend time casting vision. I'm going to spend time reviewing expectations, or maybe focusing in on a single expectation. I'm going to train them in one aspect of teaching, and I'm going to give them time to fellowship. Boom, there's your meeting. And it's planned out, and all you need to now do is kind of fill in the blanks of those things. And so we get asked all the time, man, what do I do in those meetings? I've planned three, and now having an outline like that based on these two podcasts, I think will be really helpful. One of the other things about relationships with each other, as they get to know each other and as they understand their expectations, I think you're building a team. you're helping them understand that, hey, we're in this together. I may teach eighth grade boys, and this person might teach 11th grade girls, and this person over here teaches seventh grade boys. But together, we're on this student ministry team, and there's shared values, and there's shared vision, and there's shared heart, and we all come together for one reason, and that's to see these students come to know the Lord and follow Him with their lives. And just like with any other team, when you build a culture of synergy, and instead of having five people or 50 people, whatever your case may be, all kind of going their own little splinter of a direction, it's never as powerful as having those people all understand, hey, we're on this same team, and we're all going towards the right direction, and what you do helps, and what I do helps, and together we really can see a difference in the next generation. And that sounds like a pump them up encouragement, like yay student ministry speech, but that's reality. Like, when your leaders begin to understand, hey, we're on a team together, you will find that they serve in the ministry with much greater vigor and excitement than they did before.
Yeah. Well, and celebrating those victories really should be a regular part of what you do with them.
There's another meeting segment.
Yeah.
Tell the stories of life change.
Well, and that was something every leader meeting, and we did one once a month, 15 minutes before the hour that leader taught. And so that group of leaders would come into the room for 15 minutes, and we would run through, you know, hey, the first thing is thank you. The second thing is, hey, we're going to celebrate some victories. The third thing is, here's a nugget. Here's something that you can legitimately use today at your table. And then the last thing is, here's what's coming up. You know, here's the next two things you need to know about that I'm going to need your help for, that I want you to help me pray through, you know, whatever. But every time, sharing those victories and just saying, look what God is doing through you, was always something that really charged up the leaders, because they're able to see what we're doing is making a difference. God yeah. is using this. Lives are being changed. And after you've taken a couple of number two dicks and Ticonderogas to the face, you need a little pump up speech.
You need to know that the room down the hall or the house across the community is actually doing something good. And one day you can too. That your leaders need to know that.
Yeah, so you should do that. Make that a part of your regular communication with your leaders.
It is, you know, celebration is super important. I don't think people do it enough. Like I would say in our own work here in Lifeway Students, I don't think we take enough moments to celebrate. Like, we just finished a summer of incredible camp and missions ministry. And there will be a moment when we stop and celebrate that. And we need to make a really big deal about it. And in student ministry, there weren't enough times where we stopped and celebrated, because I think we just get busy. We put our heads down and we run and run and run and run and run. And you might be able to sustain that for a period of time, but your leaders need to come up for air and celebrate what God's doing. And in reality, if you don't do that from time to time, you'll suffocate in the work.
Here's just a little something else to think about in communicating with your leaders. You need to think about the way that you communicate to them. I think a lot of times we fall into this, you know, oh, we're friends, we're family, we're on the same team, and people tend to take liberty in kind of doling out jabs, you know, like, oh, you've been a leader with me for a long time, we're friends, you know, I'm gonna make fun of you here a little bit. You need to consider the environment in which you're doing that, because they've already got a huge target on their chest, and Satan's looking for any opportunity to tear them down and make them feel like, you know, man, this isn't a place that I'm genuinely effective. And so they walk into those doors, and the first thing that happened is the student pastor just takes a dig at them, like, nice sweater, you know, where'd you get that from? Whatever it is.
He chose sweater. He's a sweater. For Three Amigos fans out there.
But you need to be thinking along the lines of, how is my speech going to always be building up and edifying my leaders? I'm not saying don't have fun with them and mess around with them, but be considerate of the way that you speak to them. Be considerate of the role that you have in building them up for the work of the ministry.
Yeah. And that's a good word for interactions with students as well.
No doubt.
That, like, I think sometimes we take too much freedom in taking a dig at a student. And some students can handle it.
Yeah.
And you've developed that relationship, and it's going to land better than it would with someone else.
So are you saying that we should not have roasted our kids?
No, that was perfectly like we had relationships, and it was awesome. We talked about that in a podcast episode before.
Uh-huh.
But you just need to be careful with the tone and how often and all of those kind of things. That's a good word.
Thanks.
This has been episode 38 of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening and joining in with us these 38 episodes. I hope that they serve you well in student ministry. I hope that as you listen each week, you find suggestions and encouragement and things that you can take to your own student ministry context that help you lead more effectively and disciple students. We're here to serve you. That's our heart in doing this. We want to do this because we want to be a resource for all of you who are in the trenches and doing student ministry. And you are heroes to so many students and families, and we appreciate the work that you do. So we want this podcast to be a service to you. So let us know how it can better be of service. Contact us on Twitter at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham. Give us some suggestions. Give us topics that you would like us to cover. And we would be happy to do that. And it's not that we have all the answers, but if you have a topic and we don't know anything, then we will go find an expert and put a microphone in front of their face and say, what do you think about this? And we'll send it out there to you. So let us know how we can better serve you. If you would leave a positive rating and review over on iTunes, that would be awesome. Hit that subscribe button. Share the podcast with a friend. We would appreciate it. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening.
See ya.